Take your Bible and go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 11, and I mistakenly printed verse 27. We're going to verse 22 tonight, Proverbs 11, and verse 22 is where we are tonight. I was watching this afternoon a couple of the Sunday news shows that replayed, and there are two or three hot topics that are going on in the news right now. Of course, Judge Souter stepping down, and we get ready for a judge to be put forth, no doubt will be, as most of them are, very liberal, to the left, leaning judge that will be put forth for this job. So everybody's talking about Judge Souter and his stepping away. Certainly we're talking about the economy, but then on everybody's mind is swine flu. Every school in Fort Worth, Texas closed for 8 days. A lot of other schools across Texas, Huntsville, Alabama, schools closed this week because of the swine flu. Now many saying that it's not going to be as bad as we thought it could have been. They took precaution. You just never know about a deal like this and you get a new strain and of the flu. Maybe you got the email like I did. People pass this stuff around and told us how it started, and maybe you got the internet picture of that little kid kissing that pig right on the snout and saw that. Well, maybe that's how it started. I don't know. But this strain of flu starting in pigs, and then, you know, when it passes from animal to human, that's one thing. You're okay, you can guard that, people not being on farms and different things. But when that strain then that comes from an animal to a human, then it begins to be transported human to human. Then you've got a difficulty, and we've had that, and it doesn't look like it's going to be very bad right now, but the fall flu season may be another deal, so hopefully everybody will be on top of that. And just jumped out at me a verse of Scripture. Everybody just keeps talking about swine, 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 and so I want to talk about the real infection that we got. It's in Proverbs 11, verse 22. Where the Bible says, as a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a beautiful woman who lacks discretion. Now, have you seen a pig that has a gold ring in his nose? Just doesn't go together, does it? I've seen pigs with rings in their nose. But you take a hog and put a 14-karat gold ring in its nose, just doesn't fit. It's out of place. Well, the writer of Proverbs says, just like a ring of gold is out of place in a pig's nose, so is out of place a beautiful woman who lacks discretion. Now, there is a place for a ring in the nose. Genesis 24:47 speaks to that. When Abraham sent Eliezer to go get his son Isaac's new wife, he sent him to his own people, and he found Rebekah. The Bible says that when he found Rebekah, he put bracelets on her arm, and he put a ring of gold in her nose. That's not the way we do it today. We put a ring of gold on her finger, amen? But in that culture, that day, they put the ring in her nose and the bracelets on her arm. That goes together. Gold with a woman goes. But gold in a swine's snout is not right. And in the same way, a beautiful woman who has no discernment is the same way. So tonight I want to show you four beautiful women in Scripture who are two who lack discretion and two who had discretion. First of all, and we're going to do a little Bible study tonight, so you got your Bible, and I want you to turn with me, first of all, to the book of 1 Kings chapter 21. Let's go to 1 Kings 21, and let's look at this first lady that I want to show you. Everybody to 1 Kings, that's a left out of Proverbs. 1 Kings 21, and we'll begin reading in verse number 5. 1 Kings 21 and verse number 5. You know this woman, the lovely lady that lacked discretion. She was like a ring of gold in a pig's nose. Her name is Jezebel. 1 Kings 21, verse 5, the Bible says, But Jezebel, his wife, whose wife? Ahab's wife. Jezebel, Ahab's wife, came to him and said, "How is it that your spirit is so sullen and you're not eating food?" So he said to her, "Because I spoke to Naboth and said to him, 'Give me your vineyard for money, or else if it pleases you, I'll give you a vineyard in its place.' But he said, 'I'll not give you my vineyard.' And Jezebel, his wife, said to him, 'Do you not reign over Israel? Arise, eat bread, and let your heart be joyful. I'll give you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite.'" Now get the picture. Here is the king. He wants Naboth's vineyard. He said, "I'll trade you this vineyard for your vineyard, because your vineyard's next to the palace and I want it." And he says, "Well, you can't have it. It's an inheritance of mine." He said, "Well, I'll trade you." He said, "No, you can't have it." So he sulks. And in comes a beautiful woman with no discretion. Now, she seems wise in this passage, wise to her husband. But she first makes fun of her husband, the king. Says, "Why are you not eating? You're acting foolish. I will get the vineyard for you." Here's what Jezebel did. She then called for the administration, for the cabinet people. Said, "Go find two fools and bring them to the dinner table. And while they're there, tell them that we will pay them to tell this story, that Naboth has cursed God. When he does, we'll take his life." And Jezebel sets the trap, and there she has Naboth killed. So now, Pastor, we don't have women that mean in our church. Hello. Jesus said, "If you have anger in your heart, it's as if you'd committed murder already." Jezebel looks great on the outside. She's just dumb as a stump on the inside. She's got a ring of gold in a pig's nose. She has no discretion. Now, folks, this passage could just as well relate to men as it does women, but the writer of Proverbs uses the female here because it's the beautiful picture of the lovely woman without discretion. She might as well be a pig with gold hanging from her nose. The second one is found in Judges chapter 16. Let's all go to there. Judges 16. And we'll see a second illustration of this in Judges 16. Hang a left again. In Judges 16 and in verse number 15. This is not Jezebel, but this is Delilah. You know Delilah. It's the beautiful girl that Samson fell for. And in Judges 16 in verse 15. Samson is, you know, he's the strong man. And she's already tried to trick him again and again and again. Said, "Tell me, where's your strength? Where's your strength?" And he lies to her and tells her this and tells her that and tells her the next thing. And finally, she's so fed up that in verse 15 of chapter 16, she says, "Then she said to him, 'How can you say, I love you, when your heart is not with me? You've deceived me these three times and have not told me where your great strength is.' And it came about when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him that his soul was annoyed to death. So he told her all that was in his heart and said to her, 'A razor has never come on my head, for I've been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaved, then my strength will leave me and I shall become weak and be like any other man.' When Delilah saw that he had told her all that was in his heart, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines, saying, 'Come up once more, for he's told me all that's in his heart.' Then the lord of the Philistines came up to her and brought her the money in her hands. She made him sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the seven locks of his hair. Then she began to afflict him, and his strength left him. She said, 'The Philistines are upon you, Samson.'" This lady lacked discretion, not because of the murderous hate within her heart, but because of the envy for money within her soul. This lady was materialistic. When you go back in the first of chapter 16, it says to her, down in verse number 5, these said to her that we will everyone, each of us, the Lord of the Philistines, every one of us will give you, in verse number 5, 1,100 pieces of silver if you will deliver Samson to our hand. And she did it. She tried once, she tried twice, she tried three times, and finally the fourth time, as she pressed him again and again, money caused her to act like a pig with a gold ring in her nose. Do you ever see beautiful women that lack discretion? I honestly believe the day is coming that cable news will have women giving the news in bikinis. I believe that with all my heart. Now they just give you a certain shot every day. One little camera shot. And the dresses are just higher and higher. And I'm thinking, what do you guys got to do to get people to watch the news? And for the women to the, I'm thinking, do you have no discretion? Now listen, they don't put any ugly women out there like that. I mean, they don't find somebody that looks like they've been beat with an axe and put them up there. They take a beautiful woman that evidently, not much discretion. But boy, we saw one beautiful woman had some discretion these last 2 weeks, didn't we? Man, she came walking out there and next to nothing. And the mean homosexual judge asked her what she thought about gay marriage. And she laid it on the line. They called her everything in the world online. They cursed her. One feminist by the name of Gloria, and I can't even pronounce her last name this week, I read, said that that woman needed not to have a breast implant, but a heart implant. I mean, they've just slaughtered this lovely young lady from California because she dared say that a man ought not marry a man, that a man ought to marry a woman, and a woman ought to marry a man. It's over, team. Hear me. It's over. The homosexual agenda has won in America. We are in a new day. It is a new, and it will occur. If not on my watch, on your next pastor's watch, two men will walk into the office and ask, "Want you to marry us?" They'll ask. They already know the answer, but they'll ask. Why? Because they just press and push and push and push and push. It may not be suitor's seat, but a homosexual's coming to the Supreme Court. Mark it down. I'm not talking about a closet. I mean openly. It won't be long. Discretion. What's that word mean in Proverbs? I looked it up this week. That's an interesting word when you begin to say that a swine with a ring in his nose is like a woman, a beautiful woman, without discretion. What is discretion? It means when you got all the facts, you make the right choice. You make the right choice. You gather all the facts and then you make the right choice. Sounds like a judge to me. That you find truth and walk in it, and you don't care, come hell nor high water, you will stand. Discretion takes a backbone and just simply says, here I am, I plant my feet, and in love I speak the truth of God. Doesn't matter what they say on the blogs, doesn't matter what people rise up and begin to... Discretion finds the truth and speaks it. But isn't it a great thing to find a beautiful woman who has discretion? Amen. That not only looks good on the outside, but then radiating from within is discretion. Amen. Let me give you two of them in the Old Testament, and they're referred to in the New Testament, but I'll give you the... Go to Joshua chapter 2. Let's look at these two. Joshua. Joshua chapter 2. You're in Judges, hang a left. Joshua, the second chapter. Now, this is an interesting... I think one of the most interesting stories in all of the Old Testament is Joshua 2. Oh, when I was in the fourth grade, I used to love the preacher to preach out of this chapter. Because there's a word in there that you wondered how he was going to pronounce it. And when you're a fourth grader, amen. Now you can sit there and think fourth graders don't think that if you want to. Then Joshua the son of Nun sent two men as spies secretly from that hard place to pronounce. Amen. In the Hebrew, the third letter is pronounced like an E, not an I. That's the town. Now that I got you past that, because if I just read it and said it, you'd all be sitting there saying, well, that's... All right? So if you'd use the King James, that's what the King James says, all right? He sent them down to this town. He said, go view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and they came into the house of a harlot whose name was Rahab. Here's a beautiful lady with discretion. She lodged there. It was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, men from the sons of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land. The king of Jericho sent word to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you and who have entered your house, for they've come to search out all the land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them, and she said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. Here's her discretion. It's like Corrie ten Boom. It's like hiding the Jews in the Holocaust. Came about when it was time to shut the gate at dark that the men went out. And I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you'll overtake them. Verse 6, but she brought them up to the roof and had hidden them in the stalks of flax which she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued them on the road to the Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who were pursuing them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land and that the terror of you has fallen on us and that all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. This lady's faith is, she's seen it, and so she's now believing in sovereign God. We've heard how, verse 10, the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, of Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. When we heard it, our hearts melted and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. There's her profession of faith. He's the Lord God. We know that our gods are not real now. We know your God's the real God. Now therefore, please swear to me by the Lord, since I've dealt kindly with you, that you also will deal kindly with me and my father's household, and give me a pledge of truth, and spare my father and my mother and my brothers and my sisters and all who belong to them, and deliver our life from death. So the men said to her, our life for yours, if you do not tell this business of ours. And it shall come about when the Lord gives us the land that we will deal kindly and faithfully with you. Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall, so she was living on the wall. Verse 16, she said to them, go to the hill country so that the pursuers will not happen upon you, and hide yourselves there for 3 days, and the pursuers return. Then afterward you may go on your way. The men said to her, we shall be free from this oath of you which you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land you tie this cord of scarlet thread in the window through which you let us down, and gather to yourself into the house of your father and your mother and your brothers and all your father's household. And if you go on, you find that when they come back, that they find the scarlet thread and is there. And here is this lady who is a lovely lady. Her occupation tells us that. She has discretion. She's turned from her sin to come follow the living God. So, preacher, how do you know? Because when you go to the book of Hebrews, you find her in the roll call of faith. She is said to be one of those that by faith, Rahab the harlot, my soul. A lady with discretion. I challenge you tonight. I encourage you tonight. Do not bend to the winds of this culture. Stand for the truth of God. Have discretion. Find all the facts and stand with truth. Stand with truth. Don't dare budge. Don't move. Stand with truth. We need people that arise today and not be moved in a very difficult and hard generation. Rahab was one of those. And then the last one that I would mention to you is my mother's favorite person in all of Scripture. We'll not read all four chapters of the book, but I'll just go over it. And that lady is, of course, Ruth. Liz and I were in Israel this last time. We found an olive wood carving of Ruth. We got it and kept it all year to give to Mother for Christmas. She has it on her mantle. She loves Ruth. Ruth, what a great lady. Married, husband died, and she wouldn't leave her mother-in-law, but went back to Bethlehem. Of course, Boaz then becomes the kinsman redeemer. And Ruth becomes that Moabitess woman out of the lost, wicked generation. Comes into the lineage of the Lord Jesus. For out of Boaz and Ruth comes the Christ, down through the lineage. Ruth was a woman, beautiful on that, yes. I guarantee you, when old Boaz came in from the field and he found her lying at his feet one night and covered up his cold feet, he said, like Samson, she looks good to me. His heart went flip-flop. And he loved Ruth. And Ruth was a beautiful woman that had discretion. Discretion's what we need. Now, I'm all for beauty. Amen. I'm for people working out and doing good. Let me tell you, it's not the external, it's the internal. It's where beauty radiates from within. Beautiful women with great discretion. Amen. Now let's talk about discretion for just a moment. You see, some people, when you start calling wrong, wrong, and right, right, then you're judging me. Well, we got to deal with this. I'm at the office, and Beth gets the call, and two guys walk in, and they say, Pastor, we love each other, and we want to get married. You married Jack and Jill? Why won't you marry us? And you say no, and they call the news journal. And if one of y'all gets mad, goes out and paints graffiti on the side of somebody's house because I preached against it, then they're going to come put me in jail. That's the bill before the Congress right now. I mean, just reading Romans 1 and 2 gets you in trouble. Hey, it may be time we got in a little trouble. Friend, you've got to stand. You got to do it. And I don't want to stand by myself, but I'm just here to report in tonight. I will. Y'all can be a bunch of cowards if you want to, but I better not look up and be all by myself. All right, bless God. Amen. We're going to have a roll call and sign up down here tonight when we... Boy, you just think about our forefathers. I mean, just Bible forefathers, huh? Of people dying. And think about our Baptist forefathers and how many went to jail for the gospel. It may very well come to us. And if not us, certainly our children, our children's children. But it's out of that kind of fire that real gold is refined. The kind you put in a woman's nose. Amen. Pure as we stand. Now let's talk about for just a minute the difference in this judging and discernment. Now, I wrote this down out of Larry Crabb's counseling book this week. Here's what Larry Crabb said about judgment and discernment. He said, and I quote, "It is wrong to judge, but not wrong to discern. Judging puts me above you where I do not belong. Discernment seeds what either fosters or blocks godly living and feeds on the hope of our maturing together." I like that phrase. Judging puts me above you where I don't belong, but discernment sees what either fosters, that is, helps, or blocks godly living. Two men getting married blocks godly living. Sometimes a man and a woman getting married blocks godly living. And it feeds on this hope that we can mature, that we can grow up together, and that we can look past our issues to the place of finding truth. I have one thing I do when I watch television. I immediately hit the next channel when three people are talking at one time. They just... I mean, it sounds like, you know, a committee meeting. I just can't get it. And I'm thinking, who's the moderator of this deal? I mean, you ought to reach over there and grab somebody and say, "Sharn." But boy, they just jump in on top. Ask you the question, you answer. We wait your turn. But boy, they just jump in on top. I just can't stand that. We need to get past that in the church to the place that we can dialogue and discern until we can foster maturity among the brethren. Because maturity is what we got to have. We got enough sophomoric thinking going on. We need some maturation of growing up. Now, I got to looking, and I wrote down the wrong verse for tonight's sermon. But chapter 11 and verse 27 is not bad either. "He who diligently seeks good seeks favor But he who seeks evil, evil will come to him. Sounds like discernment to me. If you're looking after good, you seek it, and the favor of God will come. But if you seek after evil, evil's going to come. Favor seeks favor. You ever had favor? You ever had favor? You ever had anybody give you favor? Did your mom and daddy give you favor? When they give you a car, they favor you. When they give you milk money, they've showed you favor. You ever have a friend favor you? Now watch this. Friendship, and we need this. Friendship, if Leo and I are friends, friendship is when we are doing good for each other simultaneously. That doesn't mean that he's always doing it, but there are times when I'll do for him and he does for me. So that's friendship. If the giving is only going one way, that's called ministry. But friendship is on both sides of that issue. And you're showing favor. That's how you do when you're a friend. You give favor to one another. And discernment teaches you when to show favor and when to pull back. Because the worst thing you can do for somebody is to do for them what they ought to do for themselves. That's why we got a bunch of 40-year-olds sucking their thumb. It's because mom and daddy has got to show discernment enough to say, you got to do that yourself. We got mothers still waking up, 40-year-old men staying at the house. My mercy. Get you an alarm clock. It's called discernment. And after a while, you got to cut them loose. I've shared this with you before. My daddy, the night Liz and I got married back in 1976. Stood in the dark with my mother-in-law as we drove out of the parking lot. My mother-in-law reports that my father said, I hadn't swallowed all this yet, but my mother-in-law says my father said, you know, Mary, sometimes you don't know when to hold on or when to let go. It's called discernment. And you get it out of that book you got in your lap. And on your knees, in the fires of experience, and the touch of the Spirit of God when He favors you. The real epidemic, the real pandemic in our world today is not swine flu, it's stupidity. And we need to get the favor of the wisdom of God to the place where we can talk to one another, and that maturation leads us to the place that we can simply come to understand the mind and will of God together, and that we grow up to know what fosters this maturity in our life. Leo, I want to, without talking about what we talked about, I saw this today with us. I gave Leo an assignment. And sometimes when you give people an assignment, if you're their supervisor, as I am his, they will go do it. And even if they run into something, they say, ooh, that may not be good. They just go on anyway. But Leo came back to me and said, Pastor, we need to talk about this issue. And I know we got to get there, and we will, but hear me say on this side, there's an issue that we got to get over. And that's good. That's called discernment. Now, some supervisors would say, get it done. And that may be the thing to do. But when two people with the touch of God, if you can't dialogue to the place to see what fosters maturity and the best, you've missed discernment. And some of us are so pig-headed. This just keeps, it's good. That we just, I'm going to have my way. I don't care what you think. Rather than being beautiful and radiant from the inside out. So, that's all I have to say about swine flu. I hope you don't get it. But I really hope you don't get stupid and become like a beautiful woman with a gold ring in your nose. Well, I hope you don't come to the place that you look like a pig with that deal. You know, that verse could be translated like a religious person. That could be the pig. We look all everything out, but inside we don't have any discretion. It's the radiance of the beauty of God coming from within. Somebody here ought to make the wisest choice you can ever make. You ought to trust Jesus. Somebody ought to discern and say, I need to join that church. The Foster family joined with us this morning. Five of them baptized tonight. Amen. You know, their churches in this county won't baptize five people this year. Thank God for them coming. Met them after church this morning. They came, so we'll be a part of the family, being baptized. Some of you may say, tonight's my night. I discern that's where I need to be. Then you ought to come. Maybe there's something else in your heart that God's wooing you and calling you about. Then you step out and you come tonight.